Java voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to www.shazazradio Mad Science. I'm trying to type this in right now over there to the Facebook share button. Mad Science Show is live. And I fat fingered the key and missed a deal there. Yeah. In case you didn't know, folks, if you're broadcasting from Shaziz Radio, there's a doggone it. I just did it again. All right. So anyway, done blew that all out of the water. Hi, Thomas.
Huh?
Yeah. There, that's what I did wrong. All right, well, anyway, you're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazoozradio.com, and I'm distracted. Again, man. Doggone it. Nah, to heck with it. It's misspelled. Well, it actually spelled right, but there's a skip in between there. Alright, so anyway, you can post a link over from your Facebook share button on the Super Chat chat room. It's been there for years, so if you want to help share the Super Chat room, all you got to do is click on that little Facebook share button underneath the Awake Radio. And if you've got Facebook, you can share it out there and let everybody know that the show's live and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, back to the Mad Science again. I posted in some links inside the chat room for some pretty cool looking engines that this one particular individual put together. Most of these videos, one's a diesel, well actually two of them diesel engines, but the one of them's like a what the heck do you call it? Horizontal diesel? Anyway, you just have to go look at him. But this guy has got like really incredible skills at building stuff. He builds these model engines, and they just look so beautiful. I mean, they just, you want to talk about craftsmanship, awesome craftsmanship. So anyway, let's all just talk about these engines and diesel engines here recently. Thomas, are you around?
No.
I am so incredibly distracted. I got to get my brain back together. I went to hit that Facebook button and did it at the last minute. Anyway.
Finkelstein.
Who? Who's that?
Talking about your brain back together, that's the character from The Nightmare Before Christmas, the one that said these construction of these creatures should be exceedingly simple. You made the skeleton reindeer.
Cool.
Also tapped his brain out and stuck it into one of his creations.
Half his brain out? Does that make him half stupid now?
I guess. I don't know.
Dang. Anyway. So, in the search for free energy, alternative energy out there, come to the conclusion that in order to get anything out there on the market, you need to show people that things are already on the market, that the technology already exists to do exactly what it is that they've been trying to do forever, the hard way. There's a lot of people out there that believe that you can build a permanent magnet motor that will turn forever and ever and not have to have any input, and they're just using the magnetic field. I believe it's possible, but I believe that it's going to be a little more technical than the average Joe can actually get together and build. And so with that said, moving right along, there's other technologies out there already in existence. You got wind power, you got solar power, and hydroelectrics and such, and even thermoelectrics. But once again, you're talking about the average Joe being able to precisionally build certain nifty gizmos or whatever. But if you look out there at what we've already got available to us, how could you get something to essentially run better than it did before on less fuel or a different type of fuel? It's you got to have some mechanical understanding to understand how an internal combustion engine works. Is one thing, but then to understand how to literally modify that engine to the extent that you can now run it off of different types of fuels. It's been done before. People went from diesel engines running on regular diesel fuel to diesel engines running on French fry oil and vegetable oil and stuff like that. Things that go to the local snack bar or whatever. Go to the doggone restaurant and get their used up French fry oil, which after a while starts to stock up on them, and they're more than happy to get rid of it. So, you know, if you got some mechanical understanding and understand how to mix a little bit of diesel fuel with that, or in some instance people to run it directly off of that, you know, filter it out. You don't want French fries floating through your fuel system. French fry crumbs or whatever. Anyway, so you're at the mercy right now of the auto industry, because what's on the shelves is that's it, you know. And without having something completely start to finish, redesigned, re-engineered, how do you get something that already exists to work better and for use less fuel? Well, Stan Myers figured out in the 1970s how to run a dune buggy on water. His method by which he was doing it is a little bit more high-tech. And so essentially you have to separate the hydrogen and oxygen from the water molecule. And so there's a big community out there in the alternative energy community having to deal with hydrogen technology. And hydrogen technology also is involved in energy generation, as far as when hydrogen separates from oxygen and then recombines, there's some anomaly in there where you can actually capture electricity in that process. In the crude versions, the way they make hydrogen cells to actually use electrolysis to separate it, which there's a problem in that system there. When you do the electrolysis process, you got to have stainless steel for one, because any other metals just seem to really crud the water up fast. And even stainless steel will crud the water up. If there's any iron, if it's not a pure stainless steel, if there's any iron in there at all, you'll start seeing a brown, mucky-looking stuff develop inside your fuel cell. And so I'm not sure exactly how long you'd be able to actually run that for any long duration without that thing getting so plugged up you either got to replace it or take it apart and flush it out or whatever. So that's a crude form. Plus you have to put things like salt in there in order to make the water more conductive. Well, there's also a man out there who literally takes salt water and using radio frequencies not only separates the hydrogen and oxygen on demand, but ignites it on demand as well. Same technology that Stan Myers was using. So with that said, if a person could figure out how to literally separate the hydrogen and oxygen from each other, there's two fuel sources in one. It's been done. The technology already exists. And so modifying modern day engines to run, which are basically set up to run like a two-stroke engine with oil mixed in with the gas for the lubrication portion of it, or, you know, four-stroke engines running off of regular gasoline or whatever additives they put in there, and even to the diesel engine itself. It's slightly more technical whenever you're getting into talking like that. Thomas, I'm losing it, man. My brain is broke.
You mean you lost it?
Yes, I lost it. My brain is broke.
By the way, I changed the mad scientist's room image because it was just one of those ridiculous little blue group icons from Skype.
Cool.
Got tired of sticking it. No one was fixing it, so I fixed it.
Alright, well, now we got a new picture of the Mad Science Skype. Cool. Alright. So let's get down to the brass tacks of what it is I'm trying to babble on about right now. There's a lot of different engines out there today that do a lot of different things, and as far as the way that they run mechanically, And not all these engines are very efficient. Actually, in reality, none of them, but maybe a really tiny fraction of a few, are even remotely efficient because of the way that they run. So, in the process of designing the engine that I'm wanting to build, I didn't just look up steam engines and Stirling engines and diesel engines. I looked up all kinds of engines, every type of engine that you could possibly imagine. Looked it up. Watched the way that these things function in order to get... Doggone it, stop doing that. Ugh, hate computers. Anyway... So in order to figure out what was the best of the best in all of these situations, I looked at everything. And in order to find the best types of ignition systems, the best compression and all that kind of stuff, I went through I don't even know how many videos to watch. What people were doing in their modifications, turning two-stroke engines into steam and air engines and such. And so I've come to a conclusion that some of the different techniques that they use in some motors aren't very well suited for others. Doggone it, come on. This is really getting on my nerves. I'm sitting here trying to find a picture so that I can type up, talk about it. And I can't find it. Alright, let's try this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Pardon me, we're live and I'm cracking up. Gotta get my brain back together. Where is it at? Okay, finally. Nope. All right, to heck with it. So, it's on my flash drive. Okay. I'm going to go to music break.
Good idea. I'm not even sure where you're
we'll be right back.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Alrighty, let's try this again. Okay, everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. Anyway, what I was trying to say, and if you'd like to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have like three chat rooms all in one. It's pretty nifty. Anyway, what I was trying to say, and I wasn't being able to find the words because I've been kind of distracted, and it's not really good for live radio when you do that. It's frustrating. Is that not everybody understands the technology that I'm even talking about as far as that goes. Not everybody's mechanically inclined and don't understand the internal workings of internal combustion engines or even electronics for that matter, electricity. But in order to get something out there in the public that everybody can understand, it needs to be something that they're already kind of familiar with. People are kind of familiar with the engines, and they know that they got to put gasoline in it. They know that they get hot, and sometimes they get too hot, and the radiator leaks and such. But anyway, there's individuals out there that have amazing craftsmanship. There's a lot of different exotic materials out there that people know about, chemistry, and so on. And so with that said, in the alternative energy community, people are trying to figure out how to use different gases like wood gasifiers to get wood gas to run an internal combustion engine, or you know, different types of biodiesels, or you know, different types of fuel sources such as hydrogen technology and such. The whole concept of that behind that is to basically be able to still run the standard generator and be able to still run the electricity, the appliances that you got today, without, you know, having to have some sort of hoodoo voodoo version of a plasma reactor that like the old crook cashies out there trying to pawn off on people, taking lots of money off of individuals, promising them that this thing's basically going to turn all the wiring in your house black, and after a while your house will run by itself with all this magic energy coming in from the outside world and such. Nonetheless, I don't want to corrode the wires up in my house, and I don't want to corrode the wires up in your house. If you've ever looked at your battery terminals and you've seen green corrosion on there, you'll note that if you leave it gone too long, it actually finds its way up the wire and corrodes the copper wire, and you got this green mess all the way up and down your wire, and eventually your battery won't get a good contact. And so, corroding your house up doesn't seem like a good idea to me. Anyway, there's a lot of people out there spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars helping this man perpetrate a fraud on the alternative energy community. Mark over there at Zero Fossil Fuels actually did a full and complete replication of the technology just to prove or disprove it, and they did a good job as far as how he did it. Well, went by their specs, and when it was all said and done, he got the answer that he was expecting to get, that it was not going to work the way it was explained. And so, with that said, there's a lot of people out there really ripping off the alternative energy people, all the people that want to get off the power grid. And so the ones out there that are studying things like the HCAT, which is essentially spraying hydrogen and oxygen into a catalytic converter and generating temperatures 600 degrees and above using some chemical processes, you know, the materials interacting with each other, that's a plausible technology. Hydrogen technology, whether it be through the electrolysis process or separating it with the radio waves, is a plausible technology. And so, in order to be able to get something out there that the average Joe can actually get their hands on and use, you know, the internal combustion engine is probably the best as far as that goes. And the reason why I say that is because everybody's probably got a lawnmower in their yard. We can turn that lawnmower into an emergency generator using an alternator off of a car. That's simple technology, using existing technology. Now, engineering is not everybody's strong point. Not everybody can look at something mechanically and be able to engineer something that is going to function properly when you need it. And so, there's where our Achilles heel is, so to speak. There's where our roadblock has been, is that, you know, if you've got access to a person who could run a CAD program, a 3D CAD program that can model things, and you can explain to that person what it is that you need this thing to do, and then you have a mathematician alongside you that can do the math and give you the precision measurements to actually add those calculations into that deal, and then you turn around and you're able to 3D model something and then run a simulation of this thing actually running. You could even tell that it would work before you ever even built the doggone thing. And you'd be able to troubleshoot things by watching mechanically. If you understood mechanically how things function by watching the animation on there, you could tell where you was going to have problems at. And so with that said, the average Joe out there, you know, there's people out there working for big companies doing all kinds of computer-aided drafting and stuff like that. Those are the kind of folks that we need on the Dream Team, folks that already have those skill sets. But 9 times out of 10, all these individuals are busy with their life and they don't have time or maybe even the interest, because they're making enough money from the man that they can protect their family and feed their family and all that, so they don't want to shake the apple cart, so to speak. And so you need one of those backyard science guys. One of the backyard inventors, the garage guy, the basement guy, or whatever, mad science guy, to come up with an idea that, you know, you can go to your local hardware store and pick things up that necessary to modify an old, let's say, a Briggs & Stratton engine that's running a 5,000-watt generator hit, or even an alternator for that matter. Be able to modify this thing to where it runs a lot better and runs off different types of fuels and such. That's why I spend a lot of time looking out here for people like myself that do all kinds of different research and different types of deals, different types of alternative energy devices. Because there's already an infrastructure in place, there's already hardware structure in place, auto industry and such, and if you know how to repurpose certain things, you can basically generate electricity. A long time ago, they started talking about how we had an oil crisis, and so there was a need for alternative fuel sources. There was need for clean, renewable energy, is what they said. And so as I look out there, and I'm mechanically in my mind looking at all these different things, trying to put together the perfect package for the average Joe to be able to use this energy to get from point A to point B in their car, or heat their house, or run their lighting systems and stuff like that. It all blends in and all focuses into whatever is the simplest is usually the one you want to go for the average Joe. Now, if we had the access to labs such as like Area 51, where they supposedly work on alien spaceships or whatever, and we had the taxpayers' money behind us, and, you know, the NASA budget or whatever, this would be a done deal. As far as I'm concerned, it'd have been a done deal, because we have technology out there, existing technology already, that will build the perfect combustion engine. Now, there's a lot of different exotic materials, and there's a lot of different alternative energy devices and research in the works, and real plasma technology, not that stuff that fraud Keshi's been running around ripping people off. But plasma technology in the sense like plasma cutters that, you know, exist, and being able to use heat and light for energy transfer and such. So in the process of looking through all these engines, I come across the Evinrude outboard boat motor. And I'm looking at how this thing's actually designed. Now, in a two-stroke engine, you don't have very good efficiency in the standard way that they run two-stroke engines, because the intake and the exhaust ports can be open at the same time during a certain portion of the cycle, so you're actually losing fuel out the exhaust. Well, Evinrude came up with an idea on how to make a direct injection system that would make that not happen anymore. And they use pressurized injectors to atomize fuel and send it down into the cylinder right when it's time for the cylinder to need it, so that you're not pumping it out the exhaust. So, as far as making an engine that can run a lot longer, more efficient, and so on, the technology is already there. And the mainstream industry out there are fully aware that this technology exists. Now, not only Evinrude, but there's another one, Rotex, that uses this type of technology. And they have essentially two-stroke engines that will outdo four-stroke engines. And so, with that said, not only are they more efficient, but they're more powerful, and their longevity is a lot better because of the way that they're engineered. So, taking things that you know from steam technology, taking things that you know from now the direct injection and hydrogen technology and diesel compression. A diesel engine has more compression than a fuel gasoline engine because of the longer stroke that it's got going on. It has more time to build up more pressure inside the cylinder. More pressure means more heat, and so using that bit of knowledge from the diesel engine, the direct injection from the boat motor, the way that a steam engine works, and all these things in conjunction with each other, even the gasoline engine and hydrogen technology and induction heating, we have all the technology necessary right now to literally build an internal combustion engine that has no spark plug, no igniter system. It will work just like a diesel engine, and it will be self-igniting fuel that you could literally run distilled water in that engine, and it would run just like or better than any gasoline or diesel engine on the market today. That technology is fully available. It's been available forever and a day. And so the two videos that I posted earlier were, there was a man that makes these really beautiful models of model engines. And there's so many people out there that actually are building model engines. They're building scaled down replicas of V8s and getting these things to actually run. Those are the kind of hobbyists, or I'd even call them backyard inventors slash scientists, because they got to figure out ways to make things smaller and still be able to function the way they do on a larger scale. Those are the kind of folks that I've been putting a shout out to try to get these people to the table. You put the right crew in the machine shop, and 30 days from that time, you have the perfect internal combustion engine that could be retrofitted to any existing vehicle out there, any existing generator out there, and you can run this thing right off of water. Now, there's been people that talked about that and basically proved the technology and ended up getting whacked. So, you don't just go around and whack somebody unless you consider them to be a threat. Unless you're just a weirdo and you just want to whack people for the joy of it. There probably are people like that out there in this world, unfortunately. Nonetheless, in the search for basically reducing your carbon footprint slash, green energy, clean energy, alternative energy, whatever you want to call it, there's so many different terminologies. You got one crazy mad science guy sitting here telling you the world and trying to get everyone to pass the word. Pass it on. Tell everybody and his brother about it. That, we got this technology ready. If I could bring the right crew together, we would build an internal combustion engine that would use induction-style heating to heat up the cylinders. We'd use technology from the, essentially, the direct injection Evinrude, or even the Rotax. We'd use technology from diesels to gasoline engines to hydrogen technology, and we'd do it in such an efficient manner that you could literally walk up there after this engine's been running for 24 hours and put your hand right on the head and not even feel the heat. If I say this to any mainstream mechanic out there, I spark off a debate and some foul-mouthing heathenism of epic proportions, because their understanding of how an internal combustion engine works is not what I'm saying. It's just like the electricity portion of the deal. The way that we use electricity is so incredibly inefficient. It's not even remotely efficient. We waste more energy than we use in every process that we do, from running gasoline engines all the way over to running electrical generators and stoves and everything. If you understand the mechanics of anything, you can design a device to utilize the known laws of physics without violating any of the known laws of physics. Like, you got people out there, there's a overunity.com, people looking for overunity. They're looking to get out more than they put in. They're looking for some magical unicorn to jump up there and poof, you got your lights on. It ain't going to happen. Not in the world that we got. As far as making things so incredibly efficient that anyone could afford to run the generators system, or whatever, that is it. It is right there within our grasp. Energy is free. No matter who wants to argue with me until they're blue in the face, there is no one on this planet who can ever convince me that energy is not free. And in order to tap into that energy that is already presently available, we need to learn a few things from nature on how nature functions. Simple things, simple science, and simple physics. And we can take those simple physics, and if we see the wind blowing, we can get work done with the wind. It's been done for centuries. They used to put like big cloth deal up on the boat. They called it a sail, and they'd use the wind to blow them across the oceans and stuff. And so, with that said, that's what I'm talking about. Guiding that energy where you want it to go, as opposed to where, wherever. Doggone it, it happened again. Where in the heck did that go? What a world. So, what I'm trying to say here is if you folks out there are really seriously interested in alternative energy, and you really want to get this resolved once and for all, no ifs, ands, or buts, no you got to sell your soul to Beelzebub kind of craziness, give me a holler. Give me a holler on Skype or catch me on Facebook, and let's talk. Jump over here on the Mad Science Show and let's talk. And if you got this thing inside the back of your head that just keeps on telling you that this ain't possible and that ain't possible, then don't show up at the microphone, because I don't want to talk to you, literally. And I know that sounds rude, but if you're stuck in the school book, you're just going to be a hindrance to the process. The school book, in the sense of basic science and physics, is correct. The mathematics is correct. But if you aren't willing to step outside of that comfort zone long enough to take these same mathematics, the same basic science, and look at things just a little bit different, such as how you actually run an internal combustion engine. Common sense dictates if you squirt fuel inside there and the piston's going up and down at a high rate of speed that you might start off burning that fuel pretty clean. But the faster you go and the harder that engine works, the less efficient it becomes, because of the way that it's designed. There's no way to burn all this fuel in a split second before it's actually pushed out the exhaust port. So now you're wasting fuel and you have to add a catalytic converter to clean that fuel source back up, that wasted energy that's coming out the back. And so, if you understand chemistry, and if you understand how the catalytic converter works, and all that kind of stuff, but you're stuck in the books, I'm sorry, but you're not ready for the dream team. Dream team's the one that steps back and looks at the big picture and says, what can I do with this? I don't want to know what I can't do with it, but what can I do with this? How far can I actually take this one little anomaly that's occurring with everything from static electricity to, you name it, plasma technology. Science says that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. So we know that we can get heat out of light. We know that a focus light, we can focus that heat. We can make lasers. We can burn holes through metals with light. Sounds crazy, don't it? Sounds science fiction. Thomas, are you still around? Apparently not. Anyway, I was going to ask him a laser question. So, out there on the YouTube community, which is sometimes a nightmare for people who want to think outside the box, because you got crazy knuckleheads that always want to come in and give you a rash about everything. They know more than you. They want to try to out-terminology you. They want to try to talk with high-tech terminology to make themselves sound smarter than they really are. I want to talk to the average Joe that notices things in certain deals and comes up with ideas on how to make the perfect mousetrap, so to speak. You'd be surprised at how brilliant people are. And if you take that brilliance and you match it with, some skills, whether it be craftsmanship for woodworking or metalworking or whatever, and you put those on your dream team, then in your community, you can take these ideas and you can run with them. You can build an induction style heating system that will heat up the cylinder of a home built internal combustion engine. You can raise that temperature up inside that cylinder, to whatever temperature you want. You could even destroy the doggone cylinder itself by putting too much heat to it. But you know, with induction, you can actually heat things up. Mark's working on a pretty nifty deal over there himself with some exotic materials. And he's using induction heating. Would love to have him on the dream team, because he already understands the circuitry for induction heaters. So, now you know you got induction heating that you can heat up the cylinder. Now you have to be able to have some sort of direct injection where you could put your fuel in there at the right time when the temperature gets up to the right temperature, and instantaneously when that fuel comes inside there, instantaneously combusts and pushes down the piston, which starts the process. You know that you could actually use that same induction heating system as a cooling system. Sounds crazy, don't it? Why would you heat and cool with the same exact deal? But if you can understand this mechanically in your head, and you can see it in a physical device, then you'd understand what I was trying to say, that the technology that we're talking about, that I'm talking about right now, already exists. Go out there and click on a few links and watch the insides. There's actually two videos down there, one for Evan Rude, and I believe the other one's of one of the Rotex engines that they put in snowmobiles and stuff. And look how their direct injection systems work. It's pretty impressive. If you got a mechanical mind, you'll understand what I'm talking about by watching those videos. You get better compression, you get a clean burn. And if you get a perfect burn every time, then you haven't got no emissions out the back. And isn't that what everybody's talking about? We got to reduce our CO2 so we can reduce the so-called global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. Look, shout it out to the world. Tell all these people out there protesting and save the environment and stuff. You know? We gotta save the environment. We gotta be good to the planet we live on. But if somebody's sitting there and they got the answer, and you're allowing the 100 monkey syndrome to keep you from moving forward, then we're gonna be at the same thing years from now. The technology's right there, out there in the open, ready for the taking. If people's ready to put those pieces of the puzzle together, we can build a perfect internal combustion engine that people could literally buy things off the store shelves, and with some explanation or mechanic's help could literally modify internal combustion engines to do what they weren't meant to do before and better. I say that's pretty much a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. And so, since we got the answers, and I'm sitting here shouting them out to the world, I'm hoping that people will start that message rolling out there. You know, I don't understand. I never, ever had a video go viral. Even the craziest ones that I put out there just to test the waters to see how far that my words would travel and how far people would take it. My redneck wind turbine, that was probably that, and my redneck hot tub was probably that, and those two videos right there are probably the largest videos as far as views wise that I've got. And yet, even on those videos, you will still get foul mouth heathens, just hardcore idiots coming in here to tell you how stupid you are. You could do this better. Well, why don't you have it up vertical? Why don't you have it horizontal? And actually, there's an update that has been in both directions. And I never hooked a generator head to it. I threw an idea out there to see who's going to take that one idea and push it as far as it could go. And you know, to this day, I have no idea whether anyone has ever even remotely even tried to build it. So, for all the hundreds of thousands of views on those two particular videos, And all the insults and craziness that was ensued because people wanted to come in here and tell you how this isn't going to work and how stupid you are for doing it. I can't even begin to tell you how many people I've banned from my doggone channel just because they want to come in here and drop the F-bomb and tell me how ignorant I was, because that ain't going to work. And you ask them a question, well, did you build it? And did you try it? Or did you just come on here and smart off at me because you didn't want to get up off your butt and go do it yourself to see if it worked? That's why this world is in the shape that it's in. That's why you see all these crazy things going on with people dumping mine waste down the river. People ain't using no common sense. It was the Environmental Protection Agency, for Pete's sake, that dumped the crud down the river. They told the people downstream, oh, don't worry, just wait for the crud to float by, and you can start drinking the water again. Man. You wonder why I call it mad science? That's why. There's a lot of cool devices out there. And it's cool to sit around and talk about cool devices. It's cool to sit around and talk about UFOs. But it's even cooler when you build it. I'm going to try to get a hold of some of these guys that build these little model engines. I've already sent a message out to a few people involved in induction heating. And if I can put together a mini dream team, we'll put together a little internal combustion engine that will surprise you on how super efficient it runs and on what types of fuels. It's as simple as that. But I don't expect anybody out there to sit around and wait for me or anybody else in the alternative energy community to jump up there with the holy grail of free energy devices. I expect that people would take these ideas and say, yeah, I think that could work, and go try it. Start building stuff. Worst case scenario, if you do all the research, look at all the knowledge you'll cram in your head. Those things like the washing machine motors that I told you about, that all the direct drive washing machine motors, Fisher & Paykel and Samsung models, and there's other out there. There's a lot of different air conditioners that have like the Exert theme style that Terry Woodruff and Ryan Abrams made everybody aware of. Those are ready-built generators that are already on the shelf. You can go out and buy old generators that basically they blew the motor up on it and probably get the generator head for dirt. But nonetheless, if you can't, you can at least go to one of these old salvage yards and find all kinds of permanent magnet motors, or even modify existing AC motors into generators. Is it going to run your entire house? Probably not, if you build it out of junk. But it's going to teach you something. And then when you finally realize that you got all the technology out there, if this was done a separate way, and you took that into your machine shop, and you built it that way, we'll have technology advancing rapidly because the average Joe is involved, and we're not relying on all the corporations to bring us the next nifty gizmo. They're not going to do it unless it's going to put a profit in their pocket. They're not going to give you the perfect running engine unless it's going to put a profit in their pocket. And I don't think that the world is in danger of global warming / climate change or whatever. I think nature does a pretty good job. On a local level, if you're peeing and pooing in your own fishbowl and everything's all nasty and you're getting sick, well, then you might want to change the water or build a better fish filtration system. It's crazy that something so profound could come from something so simple such as a fish tank. If you look at somebody's fish tank and it's crystal clear all the time every time you go over there, and then you look at his friend's fish tank and it's all cloudy and crudded up and the fish are floating on their side trying to stay alive, then that's the difference between technology and utilizing technology, or laziness, or lack thereof. So most folks don't understand the internal combustion engine enough to have a conversation about it. But that doesn't mean you don't have somebody like that that's in your local community. Go talk to your local mechanics and talk to them and ask them questions. Most generally, they're going to tell you, oh, that's not possible. You can't do that. If you could do that, they'd already be doing that. It drives me nuts. If they could do it, they'd already be doing it, right? I don't know how many people's ever said that one. Nonetheless, I think I've more than proven energy's free. Putting together some devices to utilize everything that I've learned in the last 20 some odd years of research. Putting it all together in one nifty package, and I'm going to hand it out to the world. And we'll see how long the first prototype makes it out there before. It's like, crazy as this sounds, a long time ago I made a duct tape hat. A hat out of duct tape. Ball cap. Had a Milwaukee's Best. No, it had a natural light bill on it. It was made from a combination of duct tape and a natural light box. Sitting at the table. Anyway, it was a pretty cool looking hat. Took it to the bar that night and the hat disappeared and ain't never seen higher hair of it since. And that's more than likely what's going to happen, because that hat was nifty and unique. Somebody took it and ran with it and disappeared with it. But if you take this idea and you pass it on and you build it and keep the idea from never disappearing, then it won't get shelved like all the other technologies of the world. And right now, even if the men in black came and whacked me because they want to do me like they did Stan Myers, I've done put enough information out there that at worst case scenario, you just have to figure out one specific part and you can still replicate the design. It's not rocket science. It's not high tech. It's all based on everything, existing technologies and simple physics. And so for those of you out there who've already figured out what it is that I've been showing everybody all along, and you're miles ahead of everybody else. We don't create energy. We don't destroy energy. That's what science says. So where's it go? We're nothing more than moving it from one point to the next. We're changing the frequency of that energy, or even the physical state of that energy. We're changing it. We're moving it around, we're changing it. And then in some instances, we move it, we change it, and then we change it back into the usable type of energy on the other side. But nonetheless, all we're doing is moving and changing the frequencies of energy. That's it. It's not rocket science. It's simple, basic physics. And so once you got that in your mind, and you understand some of the mechanics that goes on in any piece of machinery out there, then you can figure out how to make that piece of machinery work better than it ever did before and last a whole lot longer. You know, the guy I keep complaining about called Keshi, I don't know where he's at in the world today. But I sat in on some of his whatever you want to call it, knowledge seeker. I had to get up and leave. Because it was the biggest hockahooey in the history of hockahooey. It was terrible. It was not based on any real science. And I couldn't understand why so many people would go so far out of their way to pay attention to this man and build things that never worked. Not once. But you'll get some of his believers and some of his followers come out there and they'll say, well, I got one and it works. Well, if you got one and you got one and it works, put it out there on the table and let some folks measure it, and we'll see if it really does what you're saying that it'll do. Nobody's came forward like that. The man still collects money from people. I ain't got time for all that craziness. I don't like it when people steal from people. It frustrates the heck out of me. And when your own government is literally robbing you blind under the guise of the so-called climate change debacle, shenanigans, fraud, that's your own government stealing from you. And your own mainstream media perpetrating the fraud by trying to tell everybody doom and gloom is around the corner. So I'm sitting here telling you we have the solution to every problem that ever existed in the history of time right before our very eyes. And if you're ready to use it, then you need to get your neighbors together and you need to start working on stuff. For all those researchers out there that pretty much gave up on the whole process, that's the world's loss. Because that's new technology that basically just going to go by the wayside. There's somebody in the liberal community said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And yet, to this very day, that's exactly what happens. When you got people out there verbally assaulting via text or whatever, people who's trying to show other people things that they found out in the research, it kicks mankind backwards. It kicks science backwards. The mainstream scientists suck. NASA sucks. And all the government agencies out there that have to do with technology suck. The mainstream media sucks. If you're sitting here telling somebody on one hand doom and gloom is coming around the corner and you need to find clean, renewable alternative energy, and you've got somebody that's sitting here explaining to you in graphic detail exactly how to do it for free without any want of any return other than to at least have the pleasure of never hearing you talk about climate change again. If you're not listening, then you need to shut up about the whole doggone climate thing to begin with. If Fukushima's radiation's killing off the doggone ocean over there and ain't nobody resolved it by now, then it ain't happening. Or if it is happening, then that means they want it to happen. The technology's there, folks. The technology's there to clean up every doggone mess that man's ever made, including radioactive nuclear waste. Technology's there. It's been there. It's been there for so long, it's mind-blowing how many of these technologies were around from the 17th century prior to that, and even long after that. 1800s, 1900s, all the way up into modern day time, there was technology available that would resolve every single issue out there, make a perfect running internal combustion engine, to make perfect generating systems. But if ain't nobody willing to step forward and, you know, build anything, it's just sad, man. Just an idea. Just a drawing on a piece of paper. That's it. People running around. Man. Some of the things that I see out here on the internet, it drives me nuts. You know, people told me that my Mad Science show is too political. And they even told me that the Knights of the Round Table was too political. Said, I was on a soapbox. I'm sitting here trying to tell the world how to resolve an issue that was supposedly the greatest issue in the history of time. And the rest of the world's out there fighting with each other. I just come across a deal, and look, somebody posted a video of something about Trump telling the world, teaching the world how to hate again. I'm telling you, it's stupid. Stupid is a plague. Stupid is a disease of epic proportions. Stupid is a mind-eating parasite of a magnitude unlike anything seen in the history of time. And stupid is highly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like that doggone cold that everybody gets. It's contagious. Highly contagious. That's the word I was looking for. You get one stupid person in the room, then it seems like everyone else out there follows the stupidest person in the room. And the next thing you know, they're all acting stupid. Thomas showed me a video a while back of a man shooting himself in the face with a freaking Roman candle. Maybe there ain't no hope. Maybe there ain't no way to fix this doggone planet. And maybe I'm fooling myself with my Mad Science channel thinking I'm actually going to get somebody to pass the word down the line and get together and actually build these perfect machines that we already have the technology to do. But behind the scenes, I'm building. I got parts laying everywhere. I'm building and I'm constructing and I'm making videos and I'm doing a radio show and I'm trying to gather the forces. And yet, every single time I turn around, somebody's telling me that I'm not doing enough. That all I ever do is talk about it. I gotta step over tools and I gotta step over material just to get out of my room. Because I'm constantly building and designing and thinking outside the box of what can or cannot be done. So I'm doing my work. I'm doing my share. And anybody wants to share in with that, it's as simple as a Skype phone call. It's as simple as jumping on the super chat room and posting a message. It's as simple as getting on Facebook or Twitter or just saying hi on YouTube. Ugh. takes a lot to get this all this stuff together and make sure that everything works well, and fighting with technology and computers and Google and Microsoft and all the craziness that they got to share with you. Like, they always want to spy on you, and they always want to change your browser, and they always want to move things around where you can't find them. They always want to cheat you out of something, including money. So the best case scenario was for me, like, just to get off the doggone internet and drop it. That's it. And work on it myself, and then share it with my neighbors and say the heck with the rest of the world. That would be the easiest go right there. But once again, down to that whole, if you know this, there's a starving baby in the world and you walk away, that still isn't resolved. If the world is dying of pollution, if the world's still fighting over oil, and you're trying to bring that bit of knowledge to the front, this isn't something I invented, people. This is something that the technology's been there since the steam engine, the Stirling engine, the PAP engine, the doggone gasoline engine, the diesel engine. All this technology's been around for so doggone long. Plasma technology, hydrogen technology, hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, static electrics, Wim's, Hearst, Van de Graaff, there's all it's, I could go on for hours and hours and hours and days and days and just tell you about all these different technologies out there. And every time I start talking about a specific technology, such as the internal combustion engine that essentially would run on pure distilled water, using the same science and technology that already exist, somebody always comes along and says, well, you know, but have you heard about this other piece of machinery over here? And, you know, yeah, of course I've heard about it. I've heard about them all. I know about the Bedini motor, and I know about the Searle engine, and I know about the magnet motors out there, and I know about all the different laser technology and plasma technology, because I've had 20 years to look at it. See, there's folks out there really versed in chemistry. There's folks out there really versed in mechanics and pneumatics and hydraulics and all that kind of stuff there. I'm not going to teach them nothing that they don't already know in those specific deals. There's people out there that know more than I do, but if a guy like me can figure out what's going on with right here, and I'm sitting here just pointing it out to you, and I'm doing it for free, man, just give me a common courtesy and tell your friends. If you guys really care about green energy and the environment and all that kind of stuff, I got the answer. If you got the answer, we all got the answer. Now, let's get together and do it, doggone it. It's driving me nuts. Because every time I hear doggone stupid news media come on there and talk about doggone global warming, climate change, I want to reach through the doggone TV and smack them. Can't talk to the kids anymore because they don't understand anything about science, because in school they don't get taught science. It ain't no joke. You wonder why some of these doggone people are out there doing the things that they're doing during protests and making themselves look so doggone ridiculous? It's because the education system in the United States of America stinks. We went from the 60s, where we had halfway decent schools, all the way up to the modern day, the year 2000 and beyond. We're in 2017, and you got kids that don't even know how to do math or even read. So you start trying to tell them that what the teacher said about global warming, climate change is a big hockahooey, and their eyes roll back in their head. And when you try to explain the physics of it and the science, they don't believe it. Oh, you're not a teacher. You don't know. as a 9-year-old zit-faced geek sitting here watching the news when I found out it was a fraud because the science didn't match. It science didn't add up. But, hey, pay your carbon tax. Pay your light bill. You know, the only reason why I haven't gone off the power grid myself is because when I do it, I'm going to do it with style. I guarantee you, that one will make the news. But I'd like to wait for all my brothers and sisters out there to do the same thing at the same time. Bam, one day we just put these out there and, hey, we start using less electricity. At first, they don't even know it's even there. Until they start realizing that they're not making as much money as they were the month before that, or the month before that. And so by the time they come around to sending the men in black to get your device, surprise, everybody and his brother's already got it too. And as far as the whole, you know, thing about industry, you can't sell a widget if everyone out there already has a widget. So it's not going to be technology that's going to get suppressed. This is what I've been trying to point out. You think it's easy to try to figure out a way to go under the radar to keep from being Stan Meyer? That's a new coined phrase. That's what happened. He wanted to try to make a future off of his invention and his ideas. And what'd they do? They did him wrong. The last words that the conspiracy world said they heard said that whenever he's coming out of the restaurant, he came out of the restaurant and shouted that I've been poisoned right before he collapsed and died of a heart attack. That was the story. Supposedly 2 weeks prior to that or somewhere around about, the military had asked him about using his technology in their equipment. He didn't want to do it like that. And so the story went on. Now, there's a document out there floating around says that by 2016 or 2017 or somewhere around about or thereafter, that the U.S. military would be running the ships off of hydrogen technology. Nikola Tesla, Wardenclyffe Tower, all the way back through all the stories of history of time, you can see inventors that either got ripped off or their ideas got suppressed. And so when you come on the scene and you start talking about, because this is one of the first things that anybody ever said to me was, if you go and you figure out how to do this, you know, they're going to kill you, right? They're going to come and get you. They're going to hide the technology and your body, is what they said. And so I said, well, you know, I guess I'll just have to be a little smarter than the average bear then, won't I? And so in the process of trying to bring this information to the forefront and in the search of free energy, I did it in such a unique fashion that it doesn't matter what they do to me at this point in the game, because I already said everything that needed to be said and showed everything that needed to be showed to the people out there. And if they took it and ran with it, they'd already have this resolved. Now, you want to put a working device on the table and you want to do it rapidly, then build the dream team in your communities and in mine, everywhere. Build your dream team. Go out there and find your best welder in your community, your best mechanic in your community, your best mathematician, your best drafter, computer-aided drafter, somebody who can run a CAD program, somebody who can run a milling machine and a lathe, and you sit there and build this doggone design like I'm telling you, and I guarantee you that the mathematics will add up, the thing will function exactly as I'm saying it will. And this is just one little tiny scratch on the surface of all that you see out there of the possibilities that can be done. You start off with something as simple and stone age as the internal combustion engine. And yes, the internal combustion engine I'm calling stone age. It, this steam engine, the Stirling engine, diesel engines. Go back and look at the history of every single one of them. And you're essentially setting back in the caveman day, period. With modern day hot rod fuel injected systems. I watch all these people out there running these doggone cars, and they know how to get in there and soup them computers up and all that kind of stuff, and they still, to this very day, haven't figured it out. For all the knowledge that they've got in combustion and fuel mixtures and air and all that kind of stuff, they still haven't figured it out. So all these really high-tech cars out there ain't nothing compared to what we could do at all. A boat motor outdoing a doggone automobile because of the way it was designed in efficiency. So you take that boat motor technology, you mix it with some diesel engine technology, you mix it with some internal combustion engine technology, and some steam engine technology, and some hydrogen technology, and some electrical technology, and now you've got the perfect running engine that ain't polluting. That's what they said they wanted. Handing it to you on a silver platter. All the information and all the research and all the hard work's already been done for you. There are lists of materials out there. There's a list of tribal electric effects for each of these materials. There's for capacitor technology, different materials have different dielectric qualities to them. Different materials reacting with each other. Two materials that you put together and they literally burst into flames because they don't like each other. And so with all that knowledge, and these folks out there taking old catalytic converters and putting hydrogen in there with no flame, just spraying hydrogen on the material, and it has a reaction, and there it is. Backyard science in its finest. Now, I may sound like I'm crazy because I'm always coming down on NASA. But if they can send a probe completely so far away down to Pluto and take a picture of this thing and this generating system be in the ship itself for 9 years, gets down there, takes a picture, sends a picture back, and all that kind of stuff right there, and that is basically modern day science fiction turned to science fact if NASA's telling the truth. They boldly went where no man has gone before. And they did it remotely. So, if I can understand that technology enough to say that we should be able to take that same technology and utilize the world's radioactive waste, it's underground and it's in cooling pools because it's hot. It's depleted and depleting and releasing energy, and that energy can be transferred into another form of energy in the form of heat or whatever, and then utilized. So you got a power source sitting underground just going to waste. The earth has provided everything. Everything under the sun, the earth has provided. You got it. You can use the sun for power, you can use the wind for power, you can use the water for power, you can use... You can use the chemistry and the dirt for power. You can use the heat, the thermal vents all over the earth for power. And so if anybody out there has the gall or the nerve to come in here and tell me that there is no such thing as free energy Add me as a Skype contact. User Shaziz, just type in Shaziz on Skype. Send me a contact. Come on, radio, tell me why there is no such thing as free energy. And don't try to mix free energy with over unity or zero point or none of the crazy unicorn searching hoodoo voodoo cashy version of you gotta love your reactor or else you don't get no free electricity. No soup for you. Come on and tell me some real science. Why it is that you think that if the Earth has been around for 4 to 5 billion years and the sun has been burning ever since, releasing all that energy, and NASA's able to send a probe all the way to Pluto, a generator stays in that doggone thing for 9 years, makes it all the way to the other side, takes a picture, sends it all the way back. How long does it take for something to be classified as free energy? What I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. So, if you feel like calling in anytime, go ahead. Tell me where I'm wrong. So, simple explanation. When you got an internal combustion engine right now, it uses compression, it uses a spark for ignition, it uses ports to guide air in and ports to guide fuel in. You bring your oxygen and your ignition source and your fuel into the same chamber. The reaction creates an explosion or an implosion that pushes down the piston that basically turns the engine and you go down the road. But the way that it is engineered, and even in the best engines out there, with the exception of the Evinrude, and I think Rotax is another company that makes a outboard motor that is direct injected, the most efficient engine on the planet, from everything that I've seen to date, is the Evinrude outboard motor and the Rotax, the one they made snowmobiles on, because of the way that they designed that. Now, if you learn something from that technology and you build a direct injected engine, you could literally heat this engine up, preheat the engine, inject your fuel, start the combustion cycle, run it like a diesel engine at first, and then like a steam engine, and then like a hydrogen engine. The longer you run that and the hotter that cylinder gets, the less fuel you use, to get the same amount of energy output that you would get from an internal combustion engine without all the waste. All the heat of that engine is focused into the cylinder, and any exhaust heat that's out there is recaptured, and that energy is guided around to work, to get more work done. It's not something that can't be done. Excuse me, and I am to prove it. So, if you get, jump over there to YouTube and you look up Shaziz and check out some of my videos, you're going to see I got a lot of crazy videos. I show a lot of things a lot of people think are insignificant. Those are all little pieces of the puzzle. When you step back and you watch and observe on how things work mechanically, if you see the world the way that I see it, then that's how you find solutions. Somebody said, why don't we make this round disc and put a pole through there and create a wheel? people been using wheels for centuries. But without that, it was either carried on horseback or carried on your back. Or drag it on a sled. So they probably went for a long time dragging things around on a sled, and the horse is about to pass out and have a stroke. And some backyard scientist said, well, why don't we put this round object on there and make it roll easier? We're so far past that right now. We have magnetic bearings. We have basically magnetic locking, quantum physics. Frictionless bearings where you're literally floating on a magnetic field. You know, they got a train that literally floats on a one rail that uses magnets. It hovers above the doggone rail. And it's held in place by magnetic fields. And yet we can't resolve the so-called carbon problem. You're living in a world where everything's carbon-based life forms. And the Environmental Protection Agency classifies CO2 as waste or toxic. That's enough to drive any mad scientist to drinking. It's as simple as that. Alright, well, I'm going to take another music break. And I'm going to see if anybody wants to join me. Throw some tunes in there.
As I read the Gazette to catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers have just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears. It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done, but it's clear how their thoughts had run. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid. And as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy. Heaven's to Betsy, a land of unregretty. Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress and decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with a...
Can you hear me? Give my creation fly!
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, I can describe the ruckus. You know, one of the things that I forgot to mention out there as far as technology that this particular engine would be based off of is compressor technology. Anytime you compress a gas or an air pressure or whatever, you generate heat. And in the air conditioning world, they utilize that generation of heat and compressed air to literally, once the gas expands rapidly in a condenser, actually produces cooling. So you have a heat exchange system in which you could actually, you know, cool down your food and stuff. You know, there's technologies out there, even in the computer world, they have water-cooled systems for computer systems. Because microprocessors are, you know, generating so much heat that, you know, you got to put heat sinks on them to keep them from getting too hot and burning up the processor. So, with that knowledge said, then, you know, if you're going to be running your computer anyway, why couldn't you design the microprocessors to literally have micro ports inside there that would literally allow water to build a water jacket inside of a microchip to keep it cool and to transfer that wasted heat off to something else? I just wanted to think outside the box's question, you know, whether it could or couldn't be done. Nonetheless, if you could do something to that extent, you could imagine where you could take that computer. You know, when you get three or four computers running around and monitors and all that kind of stuff, they generate some heat. Most generally, the fan blows it out into your room, and so you're actually heating your room while you're on the computer. You get your light bulbs on, doing the same thing. It's a simple concept. All the basic science that you've learned, light is heat, heat is light, that kind of stuff, friction, and you use all these things to your advantage to get the work done that you want. Static electricity, which is normally considered to be an annoyance when you're working in computer industries, in microprocessors or whatever, they got this little strap that you put on your arm and it's grounded so that you don't pick up a static charge and those little micro lightning bolts ruin the processors or whatever. And yet they still want to argue with me that there ain't no such thing as free energy. Any two particular materials, it don't matter, they don't have to be any two particular materials, but any two separate materials will literally exchange electrons when rubbed against one another. So if you've got a wool sweater and a vinyl seat, and you're sliding back and forth in the seat, and then you get out of your car at the fuel station, and you get ready to reach out there to take your gas tank, fill your gas tank up, and a lightning bolt shoots across and ignites the vapors on there and blows up the gas station and you. That's why they always tell you to ground yourself when you get outside your car. But yet they will argue with me that there's no such thing as free energy. Supposedly the sun has been burning for 4 to 5 billion years, according to what the information out there that the science says. And so for 4 to 5 billion years, the sun's been putting out light. It's been putting out heat. Stay out there too long in the sun, you'll dehydrate and croak. Minor case, you get a really bad sunburn. Worst case, you look like a piece of beef jerky laying on your beach towel. But they argue with me that there's no such thing as free energy. You can come on here and turn and twist all the high-tech terminology you got, quote your best laws of physics, and even go into quantum physics if you like. You can tell me everything under the sun that you want to tell me that you read in that school book. But there ain't no such thing as free energy. And I'm always going to give you the basic question. If that's true, then how long does it take for something to be classified as free energy when the sun has been going for 4.5 billion years according to your same textbooks? The wind's still blowing, the sun's still shining, the oceans are still producing waves, the ground is still vibrating, the heat is still coming out of the ground. We're sitting on top of a giant energizer battery and ain't nobody plugged in because they don't know how to use it right. Except for the wise individuals that went out and got themselves some solar panels or a wind generator of some sort, or even the power company with the hydroelectric dams. They figured it out and they charge you for the purpose for the for the electricity that they make. Oh, what a world. So got in a fight with the power company. Told the power company I was going to study everything there is to know about alternative energy and share it with the world. That's exactly what I'm doing. If you're worried about global warming / climate change / climate disruption, even though I tell everybody it's the biggest hockahooey in the history of hockahooey, then I have the solution for the problem. Willing to share it with the world for free, just like I've been doing. If you're worried about oceans dying, and if you're worried about doggone creeks being polluted and water supplies going by the wayside, I got the solution. Been giving it out for free. Not looking to get rich, not looking to get famous. All I want is to see some common sense take over this world. And instead of having to listen to your mainstream media and even naysayers and the doomsdayers and all that kind of stuff complaining 24/7 that the world is going to die, then to get together as we the people and fix it. It's that simple. But the mere fact that I'm still doing this show means that we just ain't got nothing rolling yet. I'm still working on my science experiments. I'm still trying to build my plasma reactor. Still waiting on some parts on a couple gizmos. But nonetheless, when I stand at this microphone or sit here in this chair in front of this microphone and talk out there on this world, that's just to give you an update and to try to get you motivated to do the same. I ain't never going to sell you nothing. Never going to ask you for nothing, with the exception that you go out there and tell your friends to come over here and let's talk and get things sorted out and share technology and ideas. That's it. I want nothing more. I don't want your money. I'm not going to sell you no free energy device. I'm not going to sell you no plans. I'm going to give them to you. Put it right out there on the table, because this technology has been around for so long and yet nobody's utilizing it, but everybody's complaining. It's ridiculous. It's sheer ridiculousness. In the late 1800s, they had a mercury arc rectifier, which essentially was the very first plasma reactor that I know of. They probably had something before that. But nonetheless, it is a plasma reactor. What it did was it took high voltage AC and a little pool of mercury in the bottom of a big old glass tube that looked like an octopus, had the anodes and cathodes hanging off of it. Shot the high voltage AC in there, which created a dead short with a little ball of mercury. The little ball of mercury then in turn superheated and vaporized into a gas. The high voltage AC continued to come in and energize that gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. The plasma then in turn generated heat and pressure inside that chamber. The energy was then able to be drawn off the opposite side of this plasma reactor, mercury arc rectifier, whichever name you want to use for it. And on the outside, you've got high voltage DC current coming on the other side. So, essentially, it was a rectifier, a diode, a plasma reactor, a light source, a heat source, all in one little package. So that technology being around since the late 1800s, and then it begs the question of why it is that we feel it necessary to put together highly radioactive rods to boil water with. And here recently I actually had a dispute about the terminology used, like refined and whatever the other term was, it doesn't matter. Nonetheless, it's still, you're building this rod that is hot. It's depleting and it's releasing energy. And that energy then in turn transfers through water, rocks the water back and forth so rapidly that it produces heat, friction, which in turn produces heat and turns that water into steam pressure, which in turn turns turbines, which in turn turns the generator head, which in turn gives you electricity. But in the process of mixing these two separate generations of technology together, if anything fails, then you got a disaster such as Fukushima. And I'm telling you, you could have done that so much safer without ever even having to have any radioactive material. There's a video out there, a documentary called Nuclear Scare Scam with Galen Windsor. I don't care whether you believe that nuclear energy is dangerous or not dangerous, at least go watch it so that you can get at least another point of view on the situation, so that it puts you in the situation to where you think. You think outside the box. If Galen Windsor was correct in what he said, and he was the head of the safety industry back during when they used to mix this material by hand. Excuse me, I think I'm fixing to sneeze. Yeah, free energy. Alright, so, if Galen Windsor was correct in what he said, that means your government and the industry has been lying to you all these years. And that each and every one of you could have had a nuclear reactor in your backyard. But you were taught to fear this particular device and this particular energy source. Because as long as you were in fear of it, you wouldn't be trying to steal the materials. And you wouldn't be building a free energy device in your backyard. Something that you put some rods in there and it boils the water for 20, 30 years at a go, and then you got to replace the batteries in it. Or maybe potentially not even ever having to replace the batteries in it. Nonetheless, you own the reactor, you own your generator, and if something goes wrong, it's not going to cause a catastrophic explosion, nor is it going to cause environmental issues. So just go listen to it. Listen to what the man says. Is he telling the truth? I don't know, because I don't have access to uranium or plutonium or any of the whatever it was he was talking about in here. I'm not a nuclear physicist, but I understand how it works. You had some folks out there panicking because they didn't understand what the control rods were inside of a nuclear reactor. And so they were complaining, oh no, there's all freaking out. Oh no, 9 or 10 of the control rods fell down into the reactor and they can't get them out. And I type a comment in and said, do you even know what a control rod does? A little no, but it sounds bad. The control rods is the only thing that they use to slow down the process and capture some of that released energy to regulate the temperature of the reactor itself. And so if 10 control rods fell down into the center of the reactor, then that means that that reactor is working less efficient and boiling less water because the control rods are stopping that energy from heating the water up. See, the worst case scenario would be that the control rods are completely taken out of it and you don't control the temperature and allow it to run away until it overpressurizes the boiler system and explodes into a hydrogen explosion. But all over YouTube and social medias, they always sit around talking about how, oh, we got these dangers going on from radioactive material and so on and so forth. We got all this, these problems, these potential disasters going on when they don't even understand the technology. Go watch Galen Windsor nuclear scare scam video. Pay attention to what he has to say. Match it with what you've seen in reality. Look at not only Fukushima, but look at, go back and look at the nuclear deal during the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Russia's Chernobyl. 3 Mile Island. Put all the pieces of the puzzle on the table and weigh them out. Make your own choice. Make your own decision on it. So, If you fear global warming, if you fear nuclear industry, and you want to get away from all that, and you want to use different technologies available out there that can be done in a safe, environmentally friendly manner, I'm telling you, we have access to every single bit of it. All the knowledge is out there, every single piece of the puzzle to resolve every single solution is there. There's tricks that you can do with chemistry to make things non-toxic anymore. You can mix this with that and basically make it where it's no longer environmentally dangerous. If what I'm saying isn't true, then all those individuals that do the big toxic waste disposal deal, their technology ain't working. All the chemistry that comes out of factories that you can't just dump down in the creek, it has to be treated right and then basically diluted or made to be, I can't remember the word I'm looking for, but essentially you make it neutral. Now it's no longer a health hazard. Neutralize it. So instead of putting all these toxic waste in barrels, and instead of putting all the toxic or radioactive stuff inside the containers and then shoving them under the ground and making it something for the future generations to worry about or not, and start doing it the right way, you save your environment, you save the planet, you save the world, and you can stop the wars over oil and all the resources from that point on. Simple concept. That's what mad science is all about. I'm thinking that some people never really understood what mad science was all about, but that's what it's all about. it's all about, reason why it's mad science is because you see all the stuff that could be done, you see all the stuff that is being done, and you see all the stuff that isn't being done, and you have to sit around and listen to people complain all the time. My light bill's too high, my fuel prices are too high, I'm trying to feed my family, I can't even afford gas for my car, the planet's heating up, the fish are going belly up, birds are dropping out of the sky, the planet's dying, and we got all the answers to fix it, and yet it's not done. Look, it don't take no 30, 40, 50 years to resolve starvation in the world. We're living in the year 2017. We have access to the World Wide Web, the vast sum of all humanity's knowledge. We got resources abundant. We got brilliant minds that you can get to them before the chlorine and the fluoride and the lead vaccines or whatever. If you can get to those brains before they're melted into mush and become completely worthless, then the phrase, the mind is a terrible thing to waste, is no longer an issue, because we're not wasting those brilliant minds. We're bringing them to the table and we're accomplishing things. If you're waiting around for your government to do it, you're just going to be having the same conversation 15, 20 years down the line. If you're in hopes that one day we'll run out of fossil fuel and there won't be no more oil in the world, so you won't have more carbon emissions, well, you better be really healthy and be able to live for billions of years. Because there is absolutely no way under the sun it is even remotely or physically or scientifically possible, plausible, or ever going to happen. We will never, ever, ever run out of natural gas. We will never, ever, ever run out of fossil fuels, oil, crude oil. It's not possible. It's not physically possible. You would have to take one or two or three elements off of this planet, completely out of the system, in order to make that happen. But since this Earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, a thermal electric generator, static generator, everything that comes into this planet, every piece of equipment that you build, every chemistry that you mix, and when you're done with it, it goes back into nature, and nature breaks it back down to its natural state, and then it starts all over again. So, this battle between you and the oil companies is going to go on and on and on and on forever. Until you put the technologies on the table that allow people to run their machinery with safe, natural fuels that don't pollute. Heck, the same thing goes on in your body, man. If you put crud in your body, you're going to get crud out. And your doggone body's going to run like heck. So there ain't no difference between that and an engine. You put the wrong crud in there, you put too much in it or too little, or not balanced out right, if you hadn't done the mathematics or the understanding of how much to use or not, then you're going to tear that engine up. If you overheat your body, same thing. It's all basic science. Jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html and throw question in there. Why you think it is that I'm wrong?
Anything.
So on the Mad Science podcast page, there's several years worth of podcast. And on the Knights of the Round Table, there is over 200 and some odd, 214 podcast. So from my calculations, it's over 400 podcasts up there. And with the World Wide Web and the listenership and the social media networks and all the information being presented out there and the work behind the scenes and the videos on YouTube, over 250 some odd videos on YouTube and all this kind of stuff right here, and we ain't got a ruckus started by now, it might be a doggone conspiracy going on. You shout it to all four points of the compass and nobody hears. Somebody tell me what's happening. Said you want to save the planet. I'm showing you how. Using science and mechanics. And you said you wanted clean, renewable energy. I'm showing you how. You wanted free energy, showing you where it's at, showing you all the designs and all the things done prior, the engineering going into the Evinrude direct injection cylinder is the same technology necessary for building the perfect engine, the same technology that Mark's over there working on using induction heating is the same method by which you could heat that cylinder up to operating temperature. Once you get it up to operating temperature, you no longer have to have that electrical device even running any longer. The same thing applies inside of a diesel engine. You only use the glow plugs long enough to get the cylinder hot. Once the cylinder's hot, the compression of the heat from the air pressure compressing that air and fuel causes itself to self-combust. So you don't even need spark plugs. That's from diesel technology. Compressors generate heat when you compress air. And if you want cooling, you compress air or gas or anything, and then you let it expand rapidly and you produce the opposite effect, which is cold. So that's how your air conditioner works in your car. All basic science, all basic physics engineered into the proper machine, you would have a internal combustion engine that would literally run off of the most cleanest fuel in the history of time and be able to do multitask using all the focused energy going in the right direction to do multiple tasks at the same exact time while you're using it to drive your car down the road or run the lights and the heaters and stuff inside your house. Some folks believe we've been to space and some folks believe we ain't been to space. But if we have been to space and it was done in the way that they said that they did it, there's some pretty advanced technology there that proves every single thing that I've been talking about. So my hatred for NASA it's based on the sheer fact that I'm sitting here watching people spend millions of dollars on projects, and if they say that there's a hole in the ozone layer, or they're telling the world that climate change is real so that they can keep their funding, then I get disgusted. Because here's some supposed best scientists in the world, and they can't even get it right. And they're doing it on your dollar. So, why aren't we crawling all over the moon? That's a good question. Everybody like wants to go to simple and say, oh, well, you know, we've already been there, done that, no big deal. But what about these kids coming up? Wouldn't it be cool if you were sitting in classroom with the modern day technology? You could literally, via the internet, tap into a rover that you could drive around on there and do science experiments from remotely and kind of see what it like, what it would have been like for the astronauts to have been there on point in time. Now, don't you think that would be one heck of an educational tool? And you're teaching kids real science instead of the stuff that they indoctrinate them to believe? That's why I don't like NASA. Never a straight answer. No actual science association. And if you think my YouTube channel's too political, if you think my Mad Science channel's too political, you think the Knights of the Round Table's too political, then change the channel. Go somewhere else and listen to somebody else babble on. But if you want solutions, and you want to get together, and you want to work things out and make things happen to get us where we should be in the year 2017 and beyond, then you came to the right place. If you're willing to think outside the box and try to understand technology and share information that you come across and your research and your skill set and stuff, then you came to the right place. This is the place to get things done. If you want to come on and tell me that all I ever do is talk and we never get nothing accomplished and this isn't about solutions and stuff like that, don't come on my radio show. Because you're just wasting everybody's time and your own. If that's what you truly believe. I'm trying to motivate the world and prove to the world something that I said at the top of my doggone deal in the search for free energy. I'm trying to show them that it's there. It's been there all along. If there's a problem with wind power and you're worried about birds getting whacked out of the sky by the propellers, then redesign it. Put a screen on it. And if you want to make it look pretty, put a birdhouse on it. But to just discount a technology that is already proven, solar panels, they make flexible solar panels right now. You could wrap a solar panel around a coffee can. Hook that solar panel to an electric motor and have that coffee can spinning in the sun. So now you got mechanical motion coming from light rays coming from the sun. You can do the same process with a thermal process using stretched out bands across two wheels on there. It's a heat engine. While the sun's out beating down on it, it's spinning around. You're getting mechanical work done. Science says that voltage is pressure, and pressure is what you use to get work done. And so with pressure and leverage, we know we can get more work done. So I'm pointing it out. I'm inviting you to the microphone. I'm inviting you to research alongside me. Share your knowledge. I share mine. That kind of deal. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. Trying to bring people to the table to resolve the issues that the world says we got. And I'm starting to be a firm believer in the world has no other issues other than stupidity. The only issues that I see out there is the lack of common sense. 20 years ago, I set out on this journey, probably even more than that. Well, let's just say hypothetically, or for argument purposes, 20 years ago, I started off on this journey to search for every type of alternative energy device under the sun. And I've talked to all kinds of researchers about everything, from alien technology to you name it. And I've listened to it all. And in all that years, I've seen a lot of nifty gizmos come and go. And nut. Cashew's selling people freaking reactors. He calls them reactors. It's a reactor because you'd get a reaction out of me. You plugged it in and turned my wall sockets black. Supposedly your GANS material is going to coat your wiring in your house and make your wiring in your house bring in free energy from the ether or whatever. Those folks looking to do that kind of stuff there ain't got no doggone concept of basic science. And he was supposed to be some sort of physicist. It's ridiculousness. Now, am I saying there ain't some futuristic technology to pull energy right out of the atmosphere? No, because I'm telling you right now for a fact. You can pull enough fuel out of the air alone to run your car down the road. If you go ask science what the chemical makeup of the oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen and all the different gases or even carbon for that matter in the air, you got enough fuel in the air to drive your car down the road. You don't even have to put no fuel tank. You don't have to put no fuel in your fuel tank. You can start the doggone thing up with using the atmosphere alone. And if you think I'm crazy, first think about the doggone breakdown of water itself. Oxygen and hydrogen. One of them's highly implosive and one of them's explosive. Those are in the atmosphere. They have things called dehumidifiers that use a heat transfer system to cause condensation on a condenser that will take the moisture out of your air and put it down into a bucket. If you've ever seen a dehumidifier run, you know you gotta empty that bucket every so often because if you don't, it'll run over on the floor. So, with a dehumidifier, you can pull water right out of the air. With a sonic vaporizer, if you want to put moisture into the air, you could put some water inside there and it would send a fine mist that you can actually put fragrances and medicines inside there, and you can send a vapor of healthy medicines into the air to fill that room. So properly engineered, you could literally have a vehicle that would be self-contained, literally charge itself back up, fill itself up with fuel. You could drive all over the doggone planet and never have to stop at a gas station. That's not science fiction, folks. That's science fact. And just because nobody's put that into action and actually built that, doesn't mean that it isn't science fact, because it's all based on science. Real science. Not the global warming craziness. If you're worried about carbon emissions, you could literally use your car to go around and clean up the air. Period. Drive around town, saving the planet. One carbon atom at a time. And if you got thousands and millions of other people out there driving around the same type of technology, guess what? They're cleaning up the planet. It's not rocket science, but it is science. Proven technology that exists right here and right now. So I get on the Mad Science Show and I share all these technologies and ideas with you in hopes that you will take those ideas and run with them. It's like this. I've seen a lot of ideas in my lifetime that I just threw out there through the wind to see how far they'd go. Years later, I heard people repeating things that I said, and hey, guess what I came up with, man? I got this design for it, and I'm saying, yeah, that's cool, man. You should take that, go with it. But in my mind, I already knew I said it 20 years ago. I didn't need credit for it. I didn't need to take that man's dreams and smash them and say, yeah, I already figured that one out. Nope. I wanted to make sure that he was excited about the idea that he had, and that he actually tried to take it as far as he could, which would show somebody else that same idea. That's what the whole deal is. Getting people motivated to not only believe in themselves, but to believe in possibilities and to think outside the box and to run with the ideas. I want you to go back through all those podcasts. I want you to listen, and I want you to hear what I said back then and hear what I'm saying now. I want you to specifically listen for me ever asking you for anything other than to spread the word. Never asked for any money. Didn't ask for something that I wasn't willing to give back. Only thing I need is brilliant minds to join me at the table or in the machine shop to build all the ideas that we're talking about. To take all the pieces of the puzzle and put them together to make the big picture. That's it. That's the purpose of the Mad Science Show. Purpose of the Knights of the Round Table is to try to solve all the rest of the issues in the world. So if you think I'm too political, and if you think I'm too religious, then you came to the wrong place. But you're never going to change me. I'm just a crazy mad science guy who loves my family and loves the world, and I want to see this world be better than what it is. Don't waste your time arguing with me. It's not going to do you no good. I chose to believe in a higher power, and so I believe in a higher power. I chose to believe in possibilities, so I believe in possibilities. I chose to look at the world with a different perspective and see the common sense and the lack thereof in certain issues. And I chose to try to bring the common sense over and show it to the other side of the crowd to see that they actually had a choice. It's not that complex. It's pretty easy to understand what OSHA's is about. Pretty easy to get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, shazizradio.com. And together, with my knowledge and research and your knowledge and research, we get things done. I want to talk to Mark over there at Zero Fossil Fuels because some of his research is just incredible. And the man's meticulous about it. There's links on the deal. But if he's busy with his research, then I'll find somebody else that can do research in induction heating. I understand the concept, need to build the circuitry, but it's part of the idea for building the perfect energy generator using existing technologies. The rest of it, it's new technology based off of ideas from old technology. And I will continue to keep on designing. I'll keep on continue to share. And even if it's just in the form of a little crude picture or GIF animation, if you look at one of the pictures on the website and you find that you got a question, call me up on Skype and I'll explain it to you. We'll talk about it. On the Mad Science podcast page, there's a few ideas and a few pictures. And doesn't even scratch the surface. of possibilities. Those simple ideas. You take a simple idea and you take a few tools and you make a nifty GIF animation that shows a basically a solenoid engine, a V12 solenoid engine that runs off electricity. And there's also a picture over there, podcast, is really, really cool looking bike. It's an electric bike called the Zero. Those things cost about $20,000. That's a lot of money for a bike. But it's all electric. And if you took that bike, if I had that bike, I'd modify that bike so that it charged itself while I drove down the road. It'd have charging systems in every direction. And I'd drive that bike from here to China and back. Never stop by the fuel station. It's there, folks. It's all there. Anyway, surprised I didn't have anybody call in today, but that's all right. I can go it alone now and then. All right, so hopefully I'm not wasting my time or my breath. Hopefully I'm motivating somebody out there in the world. Hopefully I'm inspiring somebody. Hopefully all this isn't for nothing. Because days like this gives me the time to think that I'm wasting my time. And I don't like wasting my time. So, for the time being, I'll keep on doing what I'm doing. And hopefully I'll find other people just like me that want to do the same. Hopefully all these podcasts will get heard by somebody. If you like what you heard, you'll share it on the social media networks, and if they are interested and they take the time to listen, maybe there's an answer in there for them.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.